Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Ngorema, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, my dear elder. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
The Lord is keeping me. How has been your day?
No, my day has been good, man. Thank God. Is it still raining that side?
Yeah. It's raining, but for the meantime, it has stopped.
Ah, okay. Good rains for... Good rains, I think. Have you received good rains over the past weeks?
Sure. We have received good rains. The Lord has been good.
Ah, lovely, lovely. The food basket is in safe hands.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Now, we're concluding our discussion on Christian behavior. And, you know, the concept of being Christ-like means to reflect God's character, according to my understanding. And it can be easy to forget that God loves all the people around us, even the most terrible people that one can think of, just as much as he loves us. Now, we're going to talk about how we are to reflect that same love in all situations. So, Pastor, how is Christian behavior reflected in our interactions with people who hold different beliefs from us, whether they are religious or not?
Thank you for such a good question. We are supposed to love everybody, as you have already alluded that we are supposed to follow Christ's steps. He loved everyone. You see him talking with non-believers, see him talking with the Jews, etc., etc. And we have this statement by Paul, which says, to the Jews, he behaved like them. To the Greeks, to the Gentiles, he behaved like them. Meaning to say, Paul, his character was to accept everyone. So the concept of being in the world and not behaving like the world was applied by Paul first. He accepted everyone and he loved everyone, just like Jesus himself.
Now, you know, I sometimes see people who get vexed and quite annoyed when people are sharing different views and beliefs to those that they hold. For instance, if a person is a non-Christian and is not interested in Christianity and would perhaps come and say to you, there's no such a thing as a God, you see people already getting hot under the collar. I mean, is that how we're supposed to be attending to these things?
I think that's being wrong. We don't fight for the gospel. We don't fight people who possesses a different view. That's the reason why we are supposed to go out there to them, teach them, preach to them, and be friendly to them. If you notice, Jesus used it to establish a good friendship with the people. Then from there, he can share his light. For example, we have that Samaritan woman. Jesus had a positive mindset concerning that lady, but the disciples were negative minded. Why is he chatting with that evil woman? Yet Jesus set an example. He came down to the woman's level, started from there till the woman became an evangelist to the whole Samaria. So we are not supposed to fight people with different views. We just share our beliefs.
You know, not only that, by the way, and maybe that's why Christ was rejected by these guys, Jews that he came for, because he hung out with the wrong crowd, if I were to put it. I mean, he was hanging out with the guys who were tax collectors, who were hated by the community. He was just hanging around with the wrong crew. And, you know, I mean, if it was today, I'm sure the church board would have said and would have said, listen, we need to discipline this guy.
Yeah. That's true. That's exactly what is happening. And the mind of Jesus seemed to be lacking in most of us. We are failing to go down to those people and understand them and help them from where they are. Then, so we are failing to have that stamina.
Yeah, quite interesting. Now, Are we to treat our Christian brothers and sisters better than we do unbelievers?
Oh, yeah, it's a good question. Now, as long as someone is a human being, whether he believes, she believes, he don't believe, he don't believe, we are supposed to treat people as God's creatures. For the believers, Paul has this to say when addressing the church at Galatia: therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We are being asked and encouraged to do good to all first. Everyone has a right to receive good things from us. Then he emphasizes the element of those of the house of faith, because those are closer to us. We know them better than we know those outside. But these people are supposed to be shown a love in an equal approach. All people, the heathen, the heathens, and those of the house of faith. So if I may give a short example, when someone is asking for maybe mealie meal in our culture, in our African culture, the person is a heathen. I have to give the person. When a believer comes asking for mealie meal, I have to give the mealie meal, you see. So I have to treat them equally. So that's my sharing on that.
Yes. Now, you know, I'm thinking here that there are times when those of the house of faith, as you call it, will falter and fall. And they, you know, fall into the hands of the evil one. They end up making mistakes. It does seem that we then change our attitude altogether, you know, against them, to say, but you know better. You know you shouldn't have done this. And we now start ostracizing them, and we excommunicate them, and we kick them out of, you know, the pews and the churches. Please just talk to us about this. Is this how we're supposed to approach those of the house of faith who have fallen prey?
I think we have to have the mind which was in Jesus. When that Jewish woman was caught on the very act at the camp meeting, the church members, the intention was to destroy her. But Jesus said, no, I will not condemn you as well. So when someone falters, we are not supposed to castigate the person. That person, we can equate him or her with someone who falls ill. When someone is not feeling well, we monitor the person closer than someone, than anyone who is in good health. So when someone falters, that's the spiritual ailment. We are supposed to treat that person in a very special way in order to recover that person back to good health. So it's something which is bad when someone falters. We are supposed to go to the person, try to assist the person, and try to win him or her back to Christ again. So castigation is very, 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 very evil. Of course, disciplining is good, but we are supposed to do it in a God-fearing spirit, you see. So the Pharisee spirit is not needed. The holier than thou element is very, very, very bad.
Yeah, because I do notice that you know, it seems as though you know, once a person has fallen and they you know, have done wrong things, they then are even scared to you know, to come back the following month and to worship, because you see people now you know, talking in private about this person, and they feel uncomfortable to the point that they then decide not to come back anymore.
You're right. And Zacchaeus was one of them. People accused Jesus, why are you visiting Zacchaeus? This man is evil. He was accused, Jesus, by accepting and accommodating sinners. And at some point, they accused him, why are you eating with sinners, sitting with sinners? You're a prophet. Why are you doing that? And Jesus did it to set an example that we are supposed to love those sinners. Of course, you're not supposed to tolerate sin, but sinners are loved, are supposed to be loved.
Yeah, true that. Now, are we, or can we live out Christian values in our own power? So can I exercise these values knowing that, you know what, I got this. I'm going to get through with the day, with the year, with the next decade. I got this. And God has given me the ability, so I can take it from here. Can we do that?
It is something which is a very, very impossible, very impossible. I think Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. This strength is a daily thing, or it's something which we get every millisecond from the Lord. Without Him, we are not very far away from falling. So I like when Paul wrote to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 7, verse 13 says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. Meaning to say, this man is struggling big time. He is failing dismally to live a righteous life using his own powers. Not about going to church, which gives us strength, or staying at home, but is having Christ in us. Then when Christ is in us, we'll be able to make it. And we don't need him only for a few days. No, every day Christ in us will give us victory. So by our own might, we cannot. We can get examples of heroes of faith who fell because they trusted their own powers. For example, we have that David. Yeah, he fell into sin. He was a friend of God.
Yeah.
But he fell in sin, yeah. So by his own strength, he could not resist adultery. He could not. He only married when he was totally converted. God in him, he married, and God ended up declaring David a man after my own heart. So positions cannot give us the strength to make it to true Christianity. Even becoming a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a prophet, an apostle won't give you victory over sin. But Christ in us gives us victory.
Yeah, Christ in us definitely gives us victory. I like the fact that you also say it's going to be an everyday struggle to live a Christ-like life. But tell me, before I let you go, if it's something that you've done for a long time, you know, trying and it's an everyday struggle, don't you eventually get it that it's easier?
Paul says, I grow every day. Yeah, when you say, I'm now a grown-up Christian, it's now easier for me to live a Christian life in a straightforward way, you are now lost. We cannot. Every day we struggle to be better than yesterday. You see, so we don't have to use our experience in any at any point. We are not supposed to use our own experience to walk this journey. We need God every day. Even if you consider Moses, though he was called when he was looking after Jethro's sheep, though he was called by God,
yeah,
even going back to Egypt, he needed the presence of God. after crossing the Red Sea, he still needed God's presence and God's power. His past experience of crossing Red Sea was never enough for him to lead Israel to the promised land. So every day, God was supposed to provide new grace, new power, new insights each and every day. So our past experience will never make it easier for us to walk alone. So we learn every day. That's my understanding.
Beautiful. We learn every day, and every day becomes better and better, but it's never going to be too easy. Thank you so much, Pastor. Now, I want you to leave a word with our listeners. We've talked about this for a number of days. But the one thing that the listeners should take home as a message.
Thank you so much for the time. One thing which I want to share with the listeners is for us to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the world. We are supposed to have Christ in us each and every day. You see, maybe take home verse is Matthew chapter 5. Verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we do good things, not for our own glory, for God to be praised and to be given honor, because he's the one who enables us. God bless you. This is my last word.
Beautiful. Thank you, Pastor. Have a fantastic one and enjoy the Sabbath ahead of us.
Thank you. Same applies. Have a pleasant time with your family.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.